Welcome back once again to the Parish of the Patriots for 376 now episodes of this show. Proudly going 376 episodes without receiving any AIPAC money. So we have that going for us. You can rest assured you get my unadulterated opinions on whatever without any undue foreign influence. So, hey, you know, if nothing else, we've got that going for us. If you do get something out of the show, don't be shy to pay those tithes. We've got snail mail, and that is it. The address is, the mailing address is right there in the description page here on Radio Albion for each show, where I do my best to jot down what the show is about, which is always pretty tough because we get into a lot of different things here. But if you look down at the bottom, we do have the snail mail address. That is all we have for the Parish of the Patriots. And, hey, we do have a listener supporter, an installment from the listener supporter mailbag this week. GPD, more late sponsor, sporadic rather, support. Hope all is well. And that's from Jackie. And, you know, all is as well as can be expected. And as always, I do appreciate it. So that gets us through the listener supporter mailbag. I never know. I'm recording this show, Monday. I usually record it on the weekends, but. And oh, sometimes I got a lot of stuff going on, but my dogged dedication means I get the show done one way or the other. A lot of people were expecting the Iran thing to kick off hot over the weekend. We continue just to get more market manipulation and back and forth with, there's almost a peace deal. We're going to bomb them into the Stone Age. It's also tiresome. Almost to the point of torture, which gets us to kind of what I thought we would kick off today. Because we look, you know, you hear the term PSYOP. And everybody listening today, I'm sure you are all familiar with the term PSYOP. We don't really need to try to define it out. Y'all pretty are familiar with the term. But I think a lot of times it's easy for all of us, including myself, to miss how widespread it is, and some of the, shall we say, finer details as to the points of these ongoing PSYOPs. Now, a PSYOP doesn't necessarily, but it can incorporate a false flag. Doesn't necessarily have to be related directly to that. I think when you realize basically our entire existence in the U.S. and the West constitutes one big side, kind of like our whole economy is just a amalgamation, just a collection of various money scams. We don't actually manufacture much anymore, don't really produce much anymore. There's very, you know, there are some still providing some services, but on the big money side, it's just an accumulation of various money scams. I was telling somebody the other day, say, we're billionaires. Why do we have billionaires in this country? They didn't become billionaires because they came up with an innovative new product. They became billionaires by coming up with instituting a really clever money scam. And I do believe a lot of these guys themselves are front men. You have a face, you know, you could put to it. You say these names and people can associate it with them. When in reality, there's much bigger money behind them. But they become billionaires by various money scams. Now, the fact that we're at the point where they're essentially strip mining what's left of the economy, it's becoming more and more obvious. And again, this is where we get into PSYOPs, all the constant levels of distraction. Now, we have a constant state. The people are subjected to a constant state of turmoil. This is the bedrock of the PSYOP here and how it is used in the West. The people are kept in a constant state of turmoil. Just look at the news. It'd be a constant state of turmoil. And we're going to look at, you know, when you think about it, turn on the news and it's something, you know, I mean, as, there's a new virus that's going to kill everybody, you know, and of course people hear virus and they automatically are thinking, are they going to put us through the lockdowns again? No, that was a big psyop. They keep the people in a constant state of agitation. Iran war. Now are we going to, is the U.S. going to invade Cuba? Is that going to happen? What's going to be the results of that? How much higher is the price of gas and diesel going to get? How much more are we going to have short supplies on oil and things like this? What's the next thing that's coming? And then media report, oh, latest polls show Americans are pessimistic about the future. I wonder why that is. They're constantly subjected from one turmoil and crisis to another. Because here's the thing, and when you get down to it, it's a form of torture. People cannot stand to be in a constant state of agitation. And this is really, that direction right there is kind of what I wanted to get into, and we're going to explore that as we go along thinking about and discussing this today. Now, a good reference point, as I mentioned earlier, is to look at what happened during COVID. And understand that the program was successful. It demonstrated itself to work very well. And it's done nothing else but to expand. You know, this agitation. And again, when you see it as a form of torture, it all kind of starts to make sense. Read through a news site, turn on the network news, and just take a sample for 30 minutes and see. Plus, there's the more subtle forms. They put these flock cameras up everywhere, and people talk about Palantir. And then you have these flock cameras and Palantir and data centers. And people are talking about they're monitoring everything you do. When you see all of this and hear all of this, does any of this make you feel safer? Does anybody feel more safe? They say, I've never heard anyone say, oh, I think having all these cameras and Palantir monitoring everything on the internet and creating digital profiles of every single person in the U.S., I think it's great. I feel so much safer. My gosh, they're going to keep us safe from the terrorists or whoever. I've never heard anyone say that. Instead, it's a constant sense of unease. I think that's part of what they do is to walk this fine line to keep people right there on that edge, that knife's edge of constant unease. You see, they don't want to agitate to the point where people just start burning shit down. They don't want to do that. But they don't want people to have any time to relax, to unplug and start, because that encourages thinking for yourself. That encourages reflection. So they try the program. They have to keep everybody on that knife's edge of agitated, but only agitated, you know, just enough. Now, as you all well know, I've long advocated that you can't really truly understand the scope of these things and how they work and the mechanics, the gears within gears, if you don't understand the spiritual aspect of it, because this is where it all begins from. And this is a good example. The first step for this to work is you have to separate. They have to separate the people from God. They have to get people to unplug from their connections, their traditional connections, their connections with the Lord, with their faith. A godly man looks at this stuff, shakes his head, turns it off, and goes about his life. He may be aware of it. He may look at it and say, yeah, I need, you know, it's crazy what these people are doing. I need to be aware for that and possible plan my life, you know, to mitigate negative things coming from it. But he doesn't get emotionally drawn down to it. The man of God understands the correct perspective that everything in this world is temporary. When you have that perspective, that everything in this world is temporary. All of this constant crisis, turmoil. My gosh, what's going to happen next? You understand how meaningless it is. You understand that any of us could leave this world today, tomorrow. And then what's it going to matter? If you spent today all whipped up and emotionally plugged in and upset and whatever else at everything that's going on. But then you died tomorrow morning and, you know, you got up, had a heart attack, fell on the floor and you're dead. What did that day's worth of worrying get you? You know, what did you change with any of that? The man of God understands that all of this is temporary, so it doesn't matter. They want you to think it matters, but in the big picture, it doesn't. Now, I don't want to get me wrong. It matters in the sense that it can affect your life. And you, like I say, you shouldn't be just ignorant of the things that are going on in the world. You need to understand so that you can, you know, plan, you know, make good decisions. When I say it doesn't matter, what I mean is in the long sense, because we're all going to die. We're all going to ultimately unplug out of this thing. And none of it matters. As it is written, don't fear the man that, you know, at the end of the day, he can kill you. That's it. He can kill you. Instead, fear him who, after you die of this world, can cast you into hell. When you have that correct perspective of the temporary nature and the meaninglessness, the all overall ultimate meaninglessness of all of the stuff that they tell us is so important. Such a crisis. When you understand that, it doesn't work. You step back, you unplug, and say, no. See, they need you plugged in. And to do that, they have to unplug people from their faith, from their belief. They have to separate them from God. Human nature is human nature. And when you separate people, you unplug people from God, they'll just set up a false god, an idol. I always say, you say an idol and people picture someone has a wooden statue in their corner of their living room or something and they go bow down to it. It's not, for the most part. People would just, and they won't even realize that's what they've done. They'll create an idol. If they unplug from God, they'll create a new god to worship, be it money, whatever. The idea of celebrity status, whatever. They will create a form of idolatry. And most of the time, if you look for it, you'll see what it is. Now, just as a good example of this, I view voting now as a form of idolatry. And I say that as somebody who's taken part in voting. But you see, if somebody has an idol, going back to this, this picture people get, if somebody carves up a wooden thing and puts in the corner and bows down to it, you would laugh at that because you'd say, well, nothing, you know, has it ever done anything for you? No. You pray to this idol and has it ever interacted with you? Has your idol ever brought you an understanding, a meaning of the wider world in your existence? Has your idol ever performed a miracle in your life? Have you ever prayed to your idol and suddenly you had a revelation of clarity, of understanding, of wisdom? And the answer to all of that is no. An idol in that context doesn't ever do anything. It's just a thing. It's just an image carved by a man. So you could say one of the characteristics of an idol is it doesn't actually do anything because it can't. It's not capable. You can't blame the wooden statue. It's just a wooden statue somebody carved up. It's incapable. It doesn't serve that function. And the same could be said of voting. People go and they vote over and over and over again. And nothing changes. I can tell you, I've been around this world long enough. Had a lifetime of voting in the quote unquote most importantest election ever. I've heard, you know, however many candidates were so great and this guy is going to really, he's going to really change us. He's the outside. He's going to really change it. This guy is our answer. It's an idol. And they go and go through the ritual, go through the ritual, the bow down, go and vote. in the system. And I can tell you, absolutely. Well, things have changed, but they've all gone in the same direction. Nothing has changed for the better. An idol doesn't do anything, and neither does voting. Just, you see the commonality there. So they separate people from God. That's the number one thing. That's the starting point that has to happen, because if men are separated from the Lord, from understanding that perspective, that the nature of what a connection to God means. If a man is connected like that, this stuff doesn't work, or it doesn't work very well. Or if it does work, it's temporary, because then a man circles around to his faith and says, why am I getting wound up about this? Why am I anxious about it? So they have to separate people from the Lord and plug them into a worthless idol, a political party, a candidate with a personality, money, whatever. Whatever idol. People will just create it for themselves. That's something that isn't imposed from the outside. If you're separated from God, you will create an idol. You will not, maybe you'll not recognize it or as such, but just 100%. It's just, like I say, it's just human nature. Men will do that. Now, once they have people separated, unplugged from knowledge of the Lord, this opens them up, because again, they'll create an idol for themselves, and these idols aren't going to do anything for them because they're false. They can't. Now you look at this constant stream. Have you ever imagined turning on Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, and watching it for 4 hours? And like, there were no news stories except for, man, the world's great today. Imagine that. Imagine if you turned on one of these news network, mainstream news network programs. And they spent 4 hours telling you, man, everything's great. Man, the world is just, we got peace in our time. You know, everything's going to be all right. You can't imagine it. I can't imagine watching any of these for 4 minutes, much less 4 hours. But nevertheless, no, you would have 4 hours of just constant care. At the end of that 4 hours, you would just feel emotionally exhausted, because it's going to be nothing but turmoil, chaos. Look at the messaging that comes out. They just came out recently because the Iran debacle has turned out so well that now they're talking about invading Cuba. They came out just yesterday, I believe it was, here the last few days anyway, and announced that Cuba is a state sponsor of terrorism and poses a grave threat to the national security of the United States. This little broke-ass island off Florida. Like, they're going to pull a Red Dawn, if you know that movie from about, what, the 80s or whatever. Red Dawn. The Cubans are going to invade. Who believes that shit? What kind of mindset do you have to even fall for that? But whether you fall for it or not, the point is the emotional agitation. It's a threat. It could happen. And even if you recognize it as bullshit, you might look at it though and still think, well, what's that going to do for the economy? They're already tanking the economy with their Iran debacle, and now they're going to do another one? The hell are we doing? See, it's one of the chief goals is just a constant state of agitation, whether you believe it or not. This is what they're seeking. Social media amplifies this. People create bubbles and they whip themselves up and they share things that are meant to agitate other people in the group. Now, that's not to say the person sharing that with you is a part of a conspiracy. They're in on it. They're unwittingly in on it. They're in the program, but they don't realize they're in the program. They share this latest thing. This is going to get everyone upset. And then they get a lot of retweets or whatever. Retics, or I don't know what it is when somebody shares something on TikTok. Retick. I like that. It's a retick. I got reticked. 1,000 times. Boy, maybe I'll go viral. So, of course, people aim for these things. They're going to get a big reaction. And you see, the people feed into it. You see, it's not all externally. Once you get it rolling, and again, it starts by separating people from God. They can't have that godly perspective because it doesn't work. You got to get them unplugged from God first. That's the starting point. If they're plugged in to their faith and they're looking towards the Lord and they stop every day and recenter themselves on God and his perspective and his wisdom and knowledge of the Lord, none of this shit works. Not long term. I mean, you might get that person agitated, but in a little bit, he's going to go, yeah, whatever, bruh. The point is the constant state of agitation and then people feed in. Now, as I said before, COVID is such a blatant example of this. I said this on another show recently, you know, most of the COVID crap that people ran into was just normal everyday fellow citizens. Why aren't you wearing a mask? You know, it wasn't the government. The government intentionally stayed vague about a lot of this mandate stuff and whatnot, you know? I mean, there were some hard instances where they would go in and forcibly shut down a business or a church, but they tried to keep that on the down low because that wasn't the point of the program. I think those were largely hiccups done by lower level people that aren't really cued into the point of the program. The point of the program is to get other normal people to be the enforcers. Because when they go to enforce more harsh things down the road, they don't have enough enforcers. They've got to recruit the population to take part in the enforcement. How do you do that? If they just went out and said, hey, you know, go harass your neighbor today, people would be like, why would I do that? Got to whip them up. Got to whip them up into an emotional state. And all of this constitutes a form of torture. We're not meant to live in a state of constant emotional turmoil. You've heard the term the fight or flight response, like an adrenaline rush. You're faced with a crisis. Someone tells you there's a crisis. You see a threat and you get that adrenaline pump and you're like, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? You know, fight or flight. What? I need to be thinking of a course of action. We're not meant to be in that state constantly. It's meant to be a temporary state. But what we have in essence is a constant imposed state of mental agitation. And at the end of the day, it's a form of torture. How many times have you or I or people we know, we've all heard or said something along the lines of, what the hell is wrong with people? They're losing their minds. I don't know how many times I've looked around and said, man, people are going crazy. People done lost their minds, acting fool out there. But you see, that's a symptom. If you keep people under a state of torture long enough, they will start acting irrationally. 100% guaranteed. One of the torture methods is sleep deprivation. They'll deprive people of sleep. They try to claim that's not torture because the U.S. government does it, but that's one of the things they do. They'll put somebody in blare loud music and keep the lights bright in their prison cell. And that yet claim it's not torture because they're not whipping them with a whip or something. And those people get really irrational and start acting really weird because we're not made to be under those sort of situations, in that sort of a state, a never-ending agitated state. And yet that's what they do. That's the whole point of a lot of this, is constantly keeping people in a state of agitation. It's a form of torture. Now, what's a problem with torture? Besides the obvious morality of the issue, but what about on a practical level? Because we all know, like if you're torturing a suspect, you know, you see some TV show or some movie and you wind up cheering for the, you know, for the guy who's doing the torturing because the guy who's being tortured, we know because we're the audience and we know he's a real asshole. He's a terrorist. He's taken the hero's wife hostage or he's responsible for the death of the hero's family. We know that because we're the audience. So the audience cheers. See the conditioning? The audience cheers when they see the protagonist of the movie torturing the guy that we already know is a bad guy because we saw him. So we cheer for it. But in real life, you know, anybody who's looked into it or thought about it, and you yourselves have probably heard it. Problem with torture is that when subjected to enough torture, at some point, the person will tell you whatever. You can't know whether the intelligence you're getting, the information you're getting from that person is accurate or not. Go back to the movie thing. What if, you know, the audience knows this guy is being tortured is the bad guy. But if that were real life, the protagonist doesn't know that that's a bad guy. I mean, he thinks he is. Moreover, what if the subject of the torture in the movie really doesn't know anything? See, and that's the problem. You think about it. You know, let's say you had, because it's being normalized currently in the U.S., you have masked government goons roll up on you one day. You at the grocery store minding them, but you come out, masked van pulls up, government agents with their military gear on, jump out, grab you, shove you in a van, and drive off. Because, again, that's being normalized here in the U.S. Next thing you know, they pull the bag off your head, and you're in a room with your hands chained down to a chair. And they say, we got you. You're going to tell us. We can do this the easy way or the hard way. You're going to tell us about the terrorist plot against some public event. And in a panic, and you look at him and say, man, you got the wrong guy. I have no idea what the hell you're talking about. And they say, oh, so you want to do this the hard way. And you're like, no, really, I don't know. I don't know. You frantically tell them, I don't know what you're talking about. I ain't no terrorist. I was just browsing. Yeah, I ate a grape in the produce section at the grocery store to see if they were sour or not. But that's it. That's the extent of it. I didn't pay for the grape, okay? I admit it. Man, you're going to tell us about the terrorism. And back and forth. At some point, now comes the torture. And I'm going to tell you something. They start cutting your fingers off and they make it clear that they're not going to stop you till you tell them about the terrorism. At some point, you're going to tell them some shit. You're going to make something up. Not because you're covering for the terrorists, but you want to make the torture stop. You'll say whatever they want to hear. You'll admit to whatever. You'll confess to whatever. You will do whatever you have got to do. It's a survival instinct. When you are subjected to torture, you will agree to whatever, you'll sign whatever, you will say, you might sit there and say, no, I wouldn't. Yes, you will. They pulling out fingernails, they cutting your toes off, they whatever they doing, injecting you with things that feels like acid is running through all your veins. You will at some point do, say, sign, whatever the hell you gotta do to make the torture stop. And anybody knows that's the problem with actually utilizing torture. See, that's not to say torture doesn't serve a purpose in situations. It doesn't serve a purpose in situations where you are trying to get actual intel, actual information. If you had the information, you wouldn't need to torture the guy, right? So you don't know. And if you don't know, then that means ultimately you don't know how much this guy knows or if he knows anything. And this always is the problem with actually gathering intel via torture is because you have to know that at some point in time, the person you are torturing is going to say, do, sign, whatever they've got to do to just make it stop. That's it. Whatever. What do you want me to say? Just stop. I can't take anymore. Now, we're talking about physical torture. But the same applies to emotional torture, spiritual torture, mentally torturing people. And this gets us to this program. What we see when you turn on the news and it's just constant agitation. So look at this back and forth with this Iran nonsense. Peace is about to break out. We're going to get a deal signed and it's all going to go back to normal. And people are like, good, I'm tired of paying double for gas, diesel. And then by the end of the week, what? An attack is imminent. The U.S. is going to restart up. Oh, no. Now what? The economy is already in grave trouble. Then Monday the next week, oh no, peace is back on the table. Then by Wednesday, Netanyahu says there's no way peace is back on the table. And it's just this constant, it's a form of torture. They just want it to go away. You just want to go back to a normal life. You're sick of hearing about it. This makes people pliable. And once again, if we think back to COVID, people, you know, they went along with, I remember saying at the time, the lies were obvious and ridiculous. And I was saying at the time that that's part of the point. They need to be ridiculous. That's part of the experiment. Get people go along. You think about the idea of wearing these ridiculous masks around. And then when they came to the pinnacle, which was to take the vaccine. And, you know, you could find any sorts of, all sorts of information, you know, red flags. That this is experimental at best and very harmful at worst. And how many times did we see people saying, we've got to do this to make it end? You know, they're telling us that was the thing that was held out to people. If you get the vaccine, if you wear the mask, if you stand 6 feet apart, and then ultimately, after years of this, if you take the vaccine, it'll finally be over. Now, those of us who didn't, you know, we're pointing at, you know, doctors, researchers that are like, do not take this. This is very bad. Bad thing. They don't know. You're the guinea pig. You are the long-term study. And as you recall, for a lot of people, that didn't matter. Because they would say something along the lines of, this is what we've got to do. To make this stop, to get through this, for it to finally be over. You see, that's all that mattered. We just want it to be over. Just we to make it stop. Some of the loudest, most vocal advocates for vaccine mandates weren't even the government. It was regular people. They took that offer. If you take the vaccine, we'll make it stop. We'll make the torture stop. They don't even realize they're being tortured. We'll make it stop. Yes, yes, yes. And when they look out here and see other people going, yeah, no, we're not going to do that. What are you doing? Because this is collective torture, collective punishment. These people over here saying they're not going to do it. And if they're not going to do it, what? That means the torture will continue. So then they start screaming at the government and saying, force them to do it. Anything. Just make it stop. Please, just make it stop. Now, you see lasting effects from it too. You know, COVID's been over. The whole COVID psyop has been over forever, however long. And it was still once in a while see people walking around with the masks on. You know, it's just, you know. But the thing is, the overall operation has never quit. You know, when you turn on and people are going on and on about this crisis and that crisis and this going to happen and there's going to be a global economic meltdown. And some of that stuff may be true. We may be headed towards some of those things, but you are going to do nothing about it. See, the man of God understands you're not going to do anything about it. You know, you watch somebody talking, maybe an expert or just someone giving their opinion like I do. And they're talking about global economic meltdown and we're going to be poor and it's going to be just Mad Max out there and crazy. And people are like, well, I got my ammunition and I'm ready. And then other people talking about, well, I got 6 months worth of dehydrated food in my bunker. And you're like, what do I do? Am I prepared? And what am I? I don't want to do an economic meltdown. But see, whether that happens or not, it's going to happen, whether you're agitated about it or not. You know? What if they do this? What if they do that? They agitate people over things they have no control over. That's because if they have any control over it, then they can make a decision. They always agitate people for things that are beyond their control. You know? Is Trump and Yahoo going to start launching more attacks at Iran? And then is Iran going to retaliate and cause more devastation to the oil market, to the global economy? See, you don't have any control over that. It's torture. And at some point, people get in the mindset, anything, just make it stop. When you realize how so much of this works, you start expanding, you start thinking, you know, looking at different aspects, questioning more. See, part of seeking the Lord is seeking wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. This is part of what being connected to the Lord is. Again, that's why they want you separated from that. They don't want you actually seeking knowledge and wisdom and understanding. They just want you emotionally whipped up, but you can't do anything about it. So you surrender your autonomy. You surrender yourself to them. They are the only ones. It's kind of like Stockholm syndrome. You know, you've heard of that, where somebody is like kidnapped and held prisoner and tortured. And pretty soon, though, they start forming an emotional bond with their tormentor. We have that here now. My gosh, look at all these people going on about our greatest ally. And it's like you've got Stockholm syndrome. They want you unplugged. They got to disconnect you from a relationship with God for this stuff to work. It doesn't work, because a man of God, again, is going to seek wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Then you start thinking more deeply. And I was thinking of this the other day. I was thinking about stopping for a moment and just consider the things that all of us accept as real. But then you ask yourself, like I said, I include myself in this. This is what got me thinking. I'm just starting again, expanding in that search for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And you start going, well, wait a minute. Why do I accept these things as factual? And at the end, and if the answer to that question, when you ask yourself that question, why do I accept this thing as actually having happened? And anytime you do that and the answer is, well, because quote unquote, they told me so. Then you ask, who is they? And what is their track record of telling the truth? Most of the times, they is going to be the government / media, and their track record for telling the truth is really, really bad. And then you start looking back and thinking about things you've been told you accepted. And at the time, you're like, why would anyone do that? That's crazy. And then you start thinking, wait a minute. Maybe no one did that. Suicide bombers. You know, the terrorists sent in a suicide bomber. And we would, you know, that was a real thing, you know, years ago. You don't hear about that so much anymore. But the terrorists always being people that our greatest ally wants us to go to war with. That just by pure coincidence. We did. The terrorists sent in a suicide bomber, and a guy strapped on a bomb vest and went in there and just suicided himself, blew himself up to blow some other people up. And we would all say at the time, they're crazy. I remember having discussion with people. Why would someone do that? You know, because like if somebody came to me and said, hey, put on this and you're going to die for Allah. But you're going to get all these virgins and it's going to be great. You're going to be a martyr. We're going to remember and celebrate you for years. And my first response would be, well, if it's so great, how come you're not doing it? Well, because I got important things to do. I still have work. I'd love to. I had that vest fitted for myself, but, you know, and we'd make jokes about it. Be like, why would anybody be so stupid as to fall for that? And then you start thinking, wait a minute. How do I know that even happened? Because the media told us. Who does the media work for? Who's the media owned by? The media is a part of all the rest of it. How many actuals, I'm not saying it's never happened, but you have to ask the question. How many suicide bomber attacks actually maybe even never happened? Maybe there was just a bomb planted there. But you see, they wanted to direct the narrative, so they told you, oh, one of them crazy Muslims strapped on a vest and blew himself up again. And then all of a sudden, one day, they just moved on from that. Decided not to do that anymore. And again, the suicide bomber terrorists are always just so happen to be people that Israel wanted us to engage in a war with. Again, pure coincidence. Remember when ISIS showed up out of nowhere? That was just laughable, wasn't it? ISIS rolled up out of nowhere, just started rolling across the desert in their Toyota pickups. Well-funded, well-organized, probably one of the most satellite-surveilled areas on the entire planet. And the U.S. was like, oh, we never saw these guys coming. Where did they come from? Like, and people believe it. You start asking, why would anybody suicide bomb themselves? Wait a minute. Maybe they didn't. Certainly not to the extent that they told us. It's part of the torture, constant agitation. The culture war stuff, the quote unquote woke stuff. It just come up like totally organically one day. A sizable segment of the population decided that trans kids is a huge civil rights issue. We got massive civil rights issues in this country. We're basically living in a nominal, becoming less nominal every day police state. Surveillance cameras everywhere. The police training program based on the Israeli model. Sometimes police literally being trained by the Israelis. But no, all of a sudden, trans kids, that's who woke up one day and said, you know what we need to do? We need to have drag queens doing library time. And we need to make sure that everybody knows about it. It needs to be in the media. And you got everybody whipped up over it. Got dudes saying they're women going in your girl's bathroom. Constant mental, emotional agitation. And the worse it gets, the longer it goes on, the more likely you are when somebody comes along and offers a solution that's not a solution. You just, whatever. What do I need to do? What do I need to say? What do I need to sign? What do I need to agree to just to make it stop? The essence of torture. You see, we were talking earlier about the problem with torture if you're trying to get actual information is you never know if the information's accurate because people tell you anything to make it stop. But it doesn't mean they're not going to use torture. It just means they're not necessarily using torture to get actual information. They're using torture to manipulate on a large scale. And this is what we see. Large scale, wide scale, society wide, emotional torture. It's subtle. Government goons aren't coming in your house and pulling your fingernails. They've got you plugged in to social media. Now, the good news is you can unplug yourself. It's voluntary. Imagine anybody volunteering for torture. outside of Torture Time Princess, anime watchers, you know. I mean, that's the only torture you'd be volunteering for. But real torture in real life don't work like that. Nobody's going to walk into the cell and say, what are you going to do today? Which toe are you cutting off today? You got a new chemical to inject me with to make me writhe in agony. I can't wait. No, it isn't anything like that. It's just a constant motion, but it's voluntary. Got to get back on the social media. Got to go watch Fox News and see what the latest crazy thing these lunatic Muslims and the woke left or the demo rats are doing. Got to tune in to MSNBC or CNN and see what the crazy fascist Nazi Republicans and that crazy orange bastard are up to. get on my social media account, which is a bubble of other people that think exactly like I do, and we can share stuff that'll get each other more and more agitated and pissed off. Like the saying goes, you live your life in chains, never realizing you have the key. Just turn it off. Unplug yourself from the matrix. What difference is it? I can't do that. What? Get off of Twitter. I can't do that. I'm important. Going back in for more torture. You start questioning everything. Where did this come from? Why did this suddenly become a thing? And then you start, when you have the perspective to continually step back and ask those questions, and then everything becomes, you know, start questioning everything. You name it. Now, I've always warned you don't want to get so conspiracy minded that literally nothing is real. You know, you don't want to get to that insane part. But seriously, when you look at something that you accept as normal or as real, and you ask yourself, wait a minute, how do I know that's real? And the answer is, they told me. It's nothing you saw, nothing someone you trust witnessed, and they came, you know, if you're a family member you've known your whole life, you trusted, or a close friend you trusted, and they said, man, I was down and I saw a wreck down here and this happened and that happened, then you would pretty much accept it's real, because either you saw it yourself, someone you trusted saw it and conveyed it to you. But when the media comes in and says, oh my gosh, this person who just so happens to belong to the latest group that we want you to hate went down and did this atrocity, and that's your only source, and they are the opposite of someone you know and trust, they're someone that has a long track record of lying to you. No? What? If your spouse has a long track record of cheating on you when she comes home at 3 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday morning, been out all night, disheveled clothes, and she was like, oh, I fell asleep at my mama's house. But no, you're going to assume that bitch out cheating, because she got a long track record of it. She a hoe. She belonged to the streets. And that's the media. Anything that your only source of knowing if it's true or not is the media. She belongs to the street. She a hoe. To Americanize that. You can believe anything they tell you. It's not to say that nothing they tell you is factual. But virtually everything they tell you has an angle. It has another purpose that they're being more subtle about. Or it's just a lie. It's just a fabrication. I laugh. Every time I'm driving down one of our American streets, highways, looking like I'm drunk because I'm weaving all over the road, not because I'm drunk, not because I'm even looking at my cell phone, but because I'm trying to avoid the holes in the road, the buckling that could actually damage my car. I'm trying not to. I'm weaving through this horrible infrastructure. And every time I'm doing that, I'm remembering some news story about, oh, we're going to be colonizing Mars soon. What? Y'all can't even make the roads first world. What the hell are you talking about? You're going to build a Mars base. Yeah, right. You can't even fix the damn potholes. We're going to build a nuclear reactor powered moon base, and America will be number one to do it. And we don't even have, we hardly have drivable roads. They become less drivable every day. But they're going to build a Mars moon. They're going to build a moon base or go to Mars. Bullshit. It's bullshit. All this stuff. Look at the source. Man of God is going to be questioning. That's why they want you unplugged. They got to get you godless first. The godless people will then fall into idolatry, and then they can be manipulated, and then you have this constant emotional torture. Let me see. And then pretty soon they say just anything. I'll agree to whatever. Just make it stop. This obviously is not just isolated to the U.S. Look at Europe. Look at Western Europe. Their economy is just ravaged. And what does their government do? My gosh, we got to spend more money on the military because we're going to have a war with Russia. The Russians are coming. They don't want you stopping. If you're German or living in some other European country, the one thing they don't want you stopping and asking is, hell, maybe if the Russians came, things would be better. The Russians are coming. Don't worry about the economy is basically toast. You got to ignore that and trust us. You don't want the evil Ruskies coming. Well, they're not. Although the way Europe continues to agitate against Russia, that might actually become a self-fulfilling prophecy. And then they'll what? They'll point and say, see, we told you the Russians were going to attack us. Well, yeah. You know, when you're letting Ukraine launch rockets from your territory or drones from your territory, yeah, you know, don't be really surprised when you get attacked. See, we told you the Russians were going to attack us. Never mind your economy sucks. What was once, you know, the nation, you know, the world's envy in one of their economies and manufacturing or whatever. Forget that now. Agitation. You got to keep them whipped up. Got to keep them agitated. Yeah, it's not just America. This is used. It's used all over. I've long advocated one of the best things you can do. Talk about blessings and deception. You realize that the Lord's will gets carried out in all kinds of forms. It really does. Even, you know, the acts of evil men can work towards God's overall goals because. Not because people lose their free will in any way, shape, or form. It's just that he's outside of time and sees the big picture and he already knows this is going to happen. And that fits in here in this grand scheme of things. One of the most, one of greatest blessings in my life that I never realized. Well, one of the blessings in my life. I don't want to say greatest because I've had a lot of blessings. I'm a blessed person. But one of the blessings in life that obviously I couldn't see as a blessing at the time was being banned off of virtually every social media ever. That's a blessing in disguise. You couldn't pay me to go back on social media, be on one of these platforms. I don't want any part of it. You couldn't forget telling me, hey, you can be on there now. No, thank you. Like ever. Because you unplug. You know? All the time people spend on Facebook, on Twitter. I refuse to call it X. That's so stupid. I'm just going to be adamant. One of those things I'm going to be headstrong about. X. Get the hell out of here. It's Twitter. It'll always be Twitter. All the time people talk about, you know, spending some time thinking about the Lord and focusing your mind on God. And people be like, I don't have time for that. And then same people spend 3 hours a day staring at their phone to see what's in their Twitter feed. Maybe you are focusing on God. You've got different God. Best things you do in unplug from that. I'm not saying don't keep up with information or what's going on in the world. Limit yourself to that. Start doing it. I'm telling you, it will make you see things more clearly. Because you decide not to show up for torture today. You don't even think, you don't even know you're being tortured. You decide, I'm going to pass on today's torture session. Thank you, but no, I'm good. I'll pass. Anyway, it always starts with getting you unplugged, turned away from the Lord. That's why they constantly try to get you to do that. Distracted. On to something else. You know? Don't fall for it. Don't look at the people that are telling you, you know, to do that. You know, regardless of what it is. You know, you hear people say, make a claim. You know, people say something. You know, weigh it. know, might be true, might be not. You can go from there, you know. But Sven and I, on our last show, this topic came up just at random, but, you know, you hear somebody say, you know, pornography is really bad for you in every sense of the term. Is that true or not? Well, look into who runs the porn industry and then ask yourself, when did these people ever give anything away for free? And yet you can go look at porn all day long for free. So, yeah, it's probably bad for you. You want to take someone's word for it, consider the information. Who owns and runs the porn industry? What's their track record of giving something away for free? What's their track record as far as how they view other people? And then, well, they give this to you for free. So, yeah, it's a pretty safe bet to put all of that together and say it's really bad for you. Probably should stay away from it. See, and this that sort of mindset empowers you. That's what they don't want. You know, again, one of the purposes of torture is to make the subject of the torture feel powerless. They're at your mercy. They are God because they control. They determine whether the torture continues or not. They are the ones, and they just surrender your autonomy to them. They don't want you realizing you had the key to the shackles all the time. You had the option to not show up for the torture all the time. They don't want you realizing that. They want you thinking clearly. They want you to subject yourself. They want you to just hand your autonomy over to them. They want you to have the mindset that you will do anything just to make it stop. So we're going to wrap up on that note. Hope you got something out of today's discussion. I appreciate you stopping by. I hope you enjoy the rest of the week. And as always, I hope I'll see you back here next week for the Parish of the Patriots.